Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, May 28th, 2015. And with me today, I have two friends that I haven't been able to do a show with for far too long. Kelly Gaumont, how are you?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. And John Martellaro, I hope you're doing well too.
I'm sort of doing well. I guess you can tell from my voice I'm a bit hoarse, but I'm here.
I thought you were just trying to be seductive.
That too, always.
Yeah.
Got my new disc jockey voice.
That's right.
All right.
Give me a ladies.
Ladies.
There you go. Now, people, feel free to cut that out of today's episode and turn it into an alert tone for your text messages. Yeah. Hey, we have a
tip for that on the site.
Oh, we do. You know what? I'll actually make sure we have a link to that in the show notes. Yeah. And we have a sponsor today. Our sponsor is Cocotec's Pathfinder 7, which is totally awesome. I am so glad that they are sponsoring us because it's a really, really cool app. And hey, we have some topics to talk about today.
Let's talk about some stuff.
Let's first talk about the whole news with MCX. I almost said MXC. Almost did it.
Don't get eliminated.
And there's like five people out there right now that are laughing and cheering, and everyone else is like,
Has no idea what just happened.
Anyhow, so MCX looks like their great empire, and I have to use that term loosely, is crumbling yet a little bit more.
Yes.
Another pillar down.
Yes. So the latest news is that Target, who has been a MCX partner, is going to be accepting Apple Pay at their in-store terminals. And just to clarify, Target has been accepting Apple Pay for online-only sales. Mm-hmm. But you couldn't use Apple Pay in-store, and you couldn't use Apple Pay to pay for a product that was going to be delivered to the store for pickup.
Right. There was a lot of if and when and, you know, alternating Tuesdays, and it was sort of complicated to be able to use Apple Pay on a Target transaction.
But that's going to change.
And I'm
betting there's a few people that are like, MCX, I'm not familiar with this. MCX is the parent company for Currency. And Currency is the transaction system that Best Buy and Walmart were championing. Mm-hmm. And was it CVS?
And CVS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Target was in on the game also.
And you may remember this because the kerfuffle, like the weekend after everybody got their iPhone 6 and 6 Plus and rushed out to try Apple Pay, a lot of people went to drugstores. So Walgreens was down. They were like, hey, we'll take it. No problem. And CVS had been accepting contactless payment, which is what all of these are, Google Wallet and Samsung's, whatever they're calling it, and Apple Pay. They had been accepting those for quite a long time because their terminals had the capability. And then when they realized that people could use it for Apple Pay, they disabled the entire system altogether.
But that wasn't vindictive. That was contractual.
Right. But what happened was it made people angry. And then so if you remember last fall hearing about people boycotting CVS, this was the thing that people were talking about because they were all part of this MCX alliance, which doesn't like credit cards and wants to hook directly into your bank account so that they don't have to pay the credit card fee.
This is all from Walmart, who mm-hmm. has publicly stated that, was one of the vice presidents, that he doesn't have much like for Visa and the extortionary fees they extract from Walmart.
That was a very diplomatic way of saying that. I think his exact quote was, I want to see Visa hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's exactly how he put it.
Well, you know, when you have that kind of agenda in your corporation, your system is going to fail.
Yeah.
Well, the system was never designed to cater to consumers' needs. This was a system designed to cater to businesses' wants. And that's a really big problem if you expect your customers to buy into whatever system that you're using. And mm-hmm. Currency was not something that was going to be user friendly. I mean, the idea of Walmart or Home Depot having direct access to my bank account is really not something I'm comfortable with. And knowing that if my account is compromised in some way, and they did have a security breach during the testing phase, in their defense, it's probably not appropriate to hammer them for a problem that they uncovered during beta testing, because that's what beta testing is for. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, it did not instill confidence in me.
No.
You don't have the protection of standard credit cards. When you think about the way you do Apple Pay, you know, you take a photo of your card, the bank receives a tokenized encrypted package, it authorizes it, sends it back to your phone. You know that if there's a problem with your credit card, you have a $50 limit on liability. All of these protections, the joy of using Apple Pay, I still giggle every time I use it. I've been using it for 6 months. But the joy of using it is so contrasted to this feeling of dread of having to cough up your bank account number to currency. It just goes to prove that no matter how big and wealthy a company is, they just seem to not be able to get things the way Apple gets it.
Well, and the big problem for me in handing over my bank account number is that if there's a weird transaction, my bank doesn't call me. And if there's a weird transaction, it's up to me to find it. It's up to me to dispute it. And that money doesn't come back automatically. And I get all of that, like you were saying, John, with basic credit card protection. If I use any kind of credit card and something weird happens with the number, they call me up and they're like, hey, did you just go buy all the shoes at Imelda's here in town? Yes, we do have a shoe store called Imelda's. Did you go buy all the shoes at Imelda and Louise? And I can go, good heavens, no. And they can go, yeah, we kind of thought that wasn't you. No problem. And what happens to my balance? Absolutely nothing. What happens to my credit? Absolutely nothing. And
plus, you see the purchases on your phone, depending on which credit card company you use.
And if that happens on a bank account, then what happens is I go to the ATM this afternoon and all of a sudden it won't give me $20. And I go inside to find out why. And they go, well, yeah, you cleaned it out this morning at Imelda and Louise. And I go, no. And then it turns into a giant thing. And while I'm working it out, my bank account is still empty.
Yep.
And that's the reason that I don't want to hand it over. Now, if banks were obligated to give me the same protection as my Visa card has or my MasterCard has, then I would be more than happy to set up an account with somebody, provided the appropriate controls are in place. I wrote an article breaking down how the actual Apple Pay process works and why it's okay for you to carry around your air quote credit card on your phone, because you're actually not carrying your credit card around on your phone. And that's one of the other differentiators between using some of these contactless payment systems and something like Currency, because Currency, from people who were beta testing the app before it rolled out, which it still hasn't rolled out in any sort of appreciable fashion, were having an issue with the fact that all that information was just there. So if I can guess at your passcode, I can get at your bank account.
So the Currency system was doomed by design because of its structure to serve the merchants instead of the customer.
Yes, doomed by design, I think, is an excellent way to describe it, because it is designed to cater to merchants as opposed to customers. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's also designed by committee. And every one of the companies that's coming in to the whole Currency program has their own agenda. And unless they're all on the same page, and they are not, then it just falls apart. And we're seeing that already. It hasn't even launched, and Best Buy has said, oh yeah, we're going to start taking Apple Pay. And now Target is saying the same. Mm-hmm. And the
reason this is interesting is because when these contracts were initially negotiated with these companies, one of the things that was said, there was a press conference at the time when people sort of started rebelling against Currency. One of the people from the company pointed out that there was no penalty to ending an agreement with a Currency agreement. But if you had a Currency agreement, it was exclusive. So since they haven't come out and said anything about it since, and we still haven't heard anything about whether or not these companies are still members of MCX, what that tells me is either they have renegotiated this to be non-exclusive or they've just left And my hunch is they just left, given what they can see, particularly if you're a company like Best Buy, which has sort of hit a rough patch in the last couple of years. You kind of don't want to do things to make customers less likely to at least walk into your store.
Yep.
So my hunch, and this is based on absolutely nothing except what I think, is that what they've done is just ended the agreements, or the agreements were for a year and those agreements have timed out and they haven't bothered to renew those agreements. And so now here we are with more people taking Apple Pay.
You know, Kelly, what I think is slowing down Target a little bit was after the December 2013 fiasco, they replaced all their terminals. They replaced those stupid red plastic terminals that read your magnetic card reader with the Verifone terminals, the black ones. But they replaced them, from what I understand, with the Verifone terminals that weren't NFC enabled in most locations. And so now the Target's faced with the prospect of replacing all of those or augmenting them, reconfiguring them, and having service people come in and add the NFC dongle on the top. And that's going to cost a lot of money, too. So that's going to take some time.
Yes,
I was. I was wondering about that because even when this Target breach happened, we already knew that there were these new credit regulations coming, so that the swipe would go away.
Oh, the transfer of liability of October 2015.
Right, we already knew about that when the Target breach went down, which was one of the things that got a lot of discussion at that point. Was, you know, this particular thing is going to go away because in a couple of years they're going to have to change all of this anyway. So I wonder if maybe they made a deal with Verifone, like people make with the cable company, where you actually are just renting the equipment. And so maybe they're just going to have Verifone come in and swap out those terminals. So hopefully it's not ridiculously expensive.
That would be nice.
I'm just sort of speculating that that seems like a much smarter thing for Target to have done, if for no other reason than they knew that they were going to have to get new terminals again anyway. And so maybe if we lease them for a couple of years and take it in the shorts on those until we actually get the ones we need for this new when this regulation comes into play, then maybe it will be a little less horrible as a transition, because that's coming soon, and it's coming even sooner if you're a large company who has a lot of places where you need to roll this out. If you were someone like Target, this is a problem.
You know, what interests me about all of this is that we've been using Apple Pay now for, what, 8 months, 9 months? And it's got a lot of experience under its belt. It hasn't been successfully breached. Millions of customers are using it. Some stores are, like Whole Foods, are finding that it's a significant attractor and good part of their revenues. So, well, not a major part, but, you know, a surprisingly good part of their revenues.
It makes me happier to shop at Trader Joe's that they're going to take Apple Pay.
Sure. And currency isn't even out of the blocks yet. So I think that's another reason why these big companies are getting a little nervous and are going, you know, currency is in disarray. It hasn't been rolled out. Apple Pay is very popular. It's got a big reputation. Panera Bread and Walgreens are just, you know, running it for all it's worth.
And it's going to get bigger all the time, because as long as you have an iPhone 5 or higher and you hook it to an Apple Watch, you can use your watch for Apple Pay.
Oh, yeah. I haven't been
able
to
do that yet. You don't even have to tap your phone.
No. You just double-click the side button and you just roll it by the reader.
It is very, very cool. I enjoy using Apple Pay on my Apple Watch more so than I thought I would.
It's hilarious.
It's sci-fi giggly.
It's hilarious to me that in less than a year, we have gone from I can take out my phone and pay for stuff and that is cool, to you have to take your phone out and pay like a caveman.
Right. Well, that happened to me a while back. I think I mentioned it in one of the previous podcasts about how I was fumbling with my Apple Watch. I didn't have the right double click technique, and so I had to pull my embarrassment, the sordid public embarrassment, the shame. I had to pull my phone out of my pocket. Well, you know, Apple's pouring on the coals now. We've heard about a rewards program coming.
Yep, there's a rumor that at WWDC, Apple's going to announce an Apple Pay rewards program, which would work similar to a credit card rewards program. And if so, that's actually cool. And yet another incentive for people to be using Apple Pay.
Yeah, Apple loves to pour it on when somebody else is fumbling. They figure out a way to just, you know, put the nails in the coffin. Currency might never roll out.
I believe currency is going to roll out. I think the only significant big name partner that they will have when it rolls out is Walmart. And it's because Walmart is hell-bent on hurting Visa. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to be a significant player when it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just going to both. It'll just drift into insignificance at Walmart.
Yes, that's what I think. Hey, we have a sponsor this week.
Yay. Awesome.
I know. And our sponsor is Pathfinder 7 from Cocotec, which I'm pretty excited about because I've been using Pathfinder 7 for a couple months now, a few months now. And I'm really pleased at how much more I can do in the Finder than I could before. I didn't realize how unproductive I was with the Finder as it is just in OS X. But with Pathfinder 7, okay, one of the things that I absolutely love about this is that with Pathfinder 7, I can have a single Finder window. I can look at multiple folders at the same time in the window without having to jump between tabs, which is really great if I'm moving documents back and forth between a couple folders. But then I can also have panes at the bottom of my window that have specialized actions in them. So, like, I have one that's a terminal window, fully functional terminal window, right there all the time. I have another one that that gives me the get info about whatever file or folder I have currently selected. And there's all kinds of other things you can do in there too. You could have, say, permissions for whatever you have selected, or flags, labels. You can put all different kinds of things in there. So it's so much more efficient for me to use Pathfinder 7 when I need to, like, seriously work with files on my computer than when I'm using just the regular Finder. So here's the deal. What you need to do is go to their website, and it's cocotec.com, so that's cocoatech.com/Pathfinder. Download the demo version, give it a shot, and I believe that you will find that it's incredibly useful for you too, because I like it, so therefore clearly everyone else will too. And then when you're ready to pay for it, use our special discount code TDO. And that's going to give you 25% off the purchase price, which is so awesome. So please go download Pathfinder 7. Give it a shot. Even if you're not sure if you're going to like it, give it a shot, because you can do that for free. And then when you realize, oh yeah, this is actually really cool, use the discount code TDO, get your discount, and save a little bit of money so you can make another trip to the coffee shop. And maybe I won't catch you doing something weird and rate you up in Fresh Brew Tales. But anyhow, cocotec.com/Pathfinder. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself a copy of Pathfinder 7 today. And thank you, Cocotec, for being our sponsor.
One of the things I like about Pathfinder, Jeff, mm-hmm. is that it has a smart sort where you can normally in list mode, your folders are alphabetized in with the file names. Mm-hmm. But if you want, you can resort so that all the folders are collected together in alphabetical order. And it makes them easier that's to find right. instead of having your folders sprinkled throughout the list of files.
Yes, that's an absolutely wonderful feature too. Thank you for bringing it up. Yes. All right. So the other thing that I wanted to take a look at today is a piece that you wrote yesterday, Kelly, where mm-hmm. you help explain why hidden in photos doesn't mean what you think it means.
Yeah. So here's the thing is that with iOS 8, we got the Photos app, and the Photos app was a little different than what we'd seen before. And it was sort of hooked into iCloud Drive, and you couldn't really use it until Yosemite came out, and it was a while before Yosemite came out. So a lot of people sort of ended up with it. With Cloud Drive or something similar, if for no other reason than because it was the thing that was presented to them. So you upgrade to Yosemite, you had Mavericks, you go to 10.10, and you go, oh, well, it's telling me I need to be using this iCloud photo library thing, so I guess I better do that. So you do, and it gets sort of confusing. And the reason for that is because with the iOS 8 Photos app, for the iOS version, one of your options was to hide a photo. And it was actually John who wrote up how to do that on Mac Observer. So you can hide certain images if you want to. If you don't want to see them for whatever reason, and there's all kinds of reasons for why maybe you don't want to have those pictures seen, and there's nothing wrong with any of those, you can hide them, and then it doesn't work quite the same way if you're using the Photos app on your Mac. So now that you've got this counterpart and the two of them are supposed to be working in conjunction, if you hide a photo, it doesn't show up in Moments. So if you're in the Photos app and you see that it says the date and then it shows you some pictures and then it says the date and it shows you some more pictures, et cetera, et cetera. That's called Moments. And then there's also Years and there's also Collections. And if you have those set up, then a hidden photo doesn't show up there. But if you created an album, say you had in Moments, you've got all these pictures, and one of the days of this event, you had all those pictures hidden, then if you created an album to have all those pictures in, the album cares not whether or not you tried to hide the photo or not. It will sit there just like all the rest of them. So,
wow.
And the reason that this is interesting is because if you do this on iOS, you get a dialogue, but the dialogue that you get is in light gray text on a white background. And so it's entirely possible that people who are doing this don't even know that it says anything there. Because one of the things I pointed out in the piece is that I have, they say 20/20 is perfect vision. So after I got lasered up, I have better than perfect vision. And I had a hard time reading that on an iPhone 4. So it's totally obvious that this is totally what's going to happen to you. The dialogue will say hide a photo, hide however many photos you've chosen. And it says this photo will be hidden from Moments, Collections, and Years, but can be found in the hidden album, which is my other favorite thing. As soon as you hide a photo, the Photos app has its own album now called Hidden.
So now everyone knows that you're hiding photos.
Yes. Hi, don't look at me. I'm over here. Don't pay any attention. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of the things that causes me to wonder, because I'm not finding the use case where this makes sense. So, like, some things I can understand even if I don't agree with them, and this is not one of those things.
I think one of the use cases is where you present to somebody else some photos to look at. You hand them your phone and you say, hey, look at these, and they're swiping through and they don't run across the one you don't want them to see.
Right.
Yeah, but if it's in an album, they're going to see it anyhow.
Yeah.
Well, and you arrange it so that they're not looking at the album.
And if you're Kelly, you only use the Years and the Moments and the Collections if you hit them accidentally. Like, all I ever use is albums on my computer. And when I'm on my phone, the only one I'm interested in is Camera Roll for the most part. Yeah. So I don't ever use those other ones because they have no value to me whatsoever. So as far as I'm concerned, there's no such thing as hiding a picture in all of these, in the Photos app, whichever one you're using.
You know, I hadn't really thought about it before, but I'm using Photos pretty much the same way you are, where I live in albums, not in Moments.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, there's really no such thing as hidden photos either.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I would also like to point out that one of the best things about this piece is that I got a new computer recently, and one of the things that did not make the migration yet was my iPhoto library. And so all I had was pictures of my Lego guys. And so the examples that are used are all pictures of my two Lego guys that I take with me everywhere. And
that warms my heart.
I knew you would like it. So if you want to see some entertaining pictures of Lego guys attending a live reenactment of a Star Trek episode in a park, you can do that right here at Mac Observer.
That's awesome. Hey, we're out of time. I know.
I wanted to talk more about live reenactments of Star Trek episodes in the park.
Oh, we'll have to do a special episode for that.
We should, because Trek in the Park was amazing.
Well, there we go. All right.
Okay.
Hey, thank you to both of you for joining me today.
You're
more
very
than welcome.
And I'm still using my Blue Encore 200.
Awesome. And you sound good, even though I know you're a little bit sick. Coco Tech and Pathfinder 7, thank you for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, please, and download your trial copy, cocotech.com/Pathfinder. Then use the discount code TDO and get yourself 25% off. And listeners, thank you for joining us again today.